Like many nations, America has a checkered past when it comes to race relations. However, in the 1960s, Dr. Martin Luther King said that America's promise, as we found in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, is good. It's sound. We just haven't lived up to that ideal. He also said we need to judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Okay, 1960s. Now let's fast forward to today. Critical race theory claims to oppose racism. But is that really the case? To unpack all this is Dr. Richard Land. He's the president emeritus of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's also the executive editor of the Christian Post, ChristianPost.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back Dr. Richard Land to the program. Dr. Land, always a pleasure.
Well, it's a delight to be with you, too.
All right. I don't know of any nation like America in the sense that we have made such great strides to try and rid ourselves of any kind of racism. And yet now it's as if, you know, some people are just making it out like there's nothing we can do to make it better. And I think the first question for you is, what is critical race theory? Maybe the ideas embodied in that help explain the feeling that, hey, there's nothing we can do. It's a hopeless case. You know, just admit you're wrong, admit that America is bad and always has been bad and always will be bad until it's, you know, remade into some sort of Marxist, country. But in the meantime, it's bad. So what is critical race theory and how does it relate to all this?
Well, critical race theory, first of all, it sees everyone as part of a group. There's no individual identity. You're either a white or you're a non-white or you're a male or you're a female. But you're never an individual. You were judged as part of a group. And it says that America is, its genetic code is racist. It always has been racist, and it always will be racist, that there's no way to overcome it. The only way to make up for past racism is future racism against the people that practiced racism in the past. It is the ultimate denial of Dr. King's dream. Dr. King's dream was that we would overcome the racism that has plagued us in the past, and that we would live up to the promises of our founding documents, that all men are created equal, and they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, among them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that we would be able to overcome that and live together in brotherhood. He said, you know, we'd be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. Well, critical race theory judges everybody by the color of their skin, and says that we ought to continue to do so, and that we ought to. And so we have university campuses that are resegregated, and we're having separate graduation ceremonies and separate dorms. It is the ultimate denial of Dr. King's dream, and I don't know about you, but I suspect you were, as I was. I was very much inspired by Dr. King's dream. I was a teenager in the 60s, and I was inspired to see the way in which we were able to get rid of Jim Crow and get rid of legalized segregation. Now, we've had a more difficult time getting rid of racism in general, because human beings are sinful, and that means they're likely to be tempted to racism. But we've made enormous strides, and we are one of the least racist countries in the world by all statistical analyses. We're one of the least racist countries in the world, at the same time being one of the most diverse countries in the world in terms of our ethnicities. Because America is a nation that is not founded on blood and land. It is founded on an idea. And anyone, whether they're Chinese or Japanese or European, or French, English, anyone can become an American. In a sense, you cannot become French. You know, I mean, my English tutor when I was at Oxford said to me, he said, you can become British. You must be born English. You couldn't become English. Well, you can become an American. If you give allegiance to our beliefs and our founding documents, and you pledge yourselves to loyalty to them, you can become an American. In a sense, you can't become Japanese. You can't become Chinese. You can't become French. We are a unique country. And it is, we all should feel extremely privileged that in the providence of God, he had us born in this great nation.
So the idea that you're saying that America is at its essence is an idea, and that's what we find in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, God-given rights, those are non-negotiable. That's the idea you're talking about, correct?
That's exactly right. And it's also true, you know, we've gone farther than anybody else in terms of women's rights, too. We have become a society that has empowered more people than any other society in human history. And to see people denigrating it and attacking it and tearing it down, and if critical race theory continues to grow, it will rend this nation asunder.
That's amazing. How does critical race theory fit in with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
It's the antithesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible condemns racism from beginning to end. You know, the book of Acts does, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, because that's sinful. In fact, Ephesians 2 tells us that with the coming of Pentecost, that God took the Jew and the Gentile, and he made of them, in their Christian experience, one new kind of human being. And the word new there is the word for new, of a totally new and different kind, a kind of human being that didn't exist before Pentecost, a new human being. John Chrysostom, John Goldenthorpe, great preacher from the early church, put it this way. It's as if God took a statue of silver, the Jews, and a statue of lead, the Gentiles, and melted them down and made a statue of gold.
So, in other words, if we follow Jesus Christ, then we don't, it would be the antithesis, like you say, of critical race theory. You've even said on previous occasions that, in effect, what critical race theory does, it denies the gospel, because basically it says that if you're white, there's nothing you can do for salvation. You're already condemned. But if you're black, you're already saved. You don't need Jesus Christ, the Savior. You want to elaborate on that?
Sure. The idea behind critical race theory is that you are the prisoner of your ethnicity and your background, period. You cannot overcome it. You cannot go beyond it. You know, in Christianity says, in Christ you become a new creature. It's really like Marxism. Marxism says the same thing. Marxism says that all of us are the prisoners of our environment, and we cannot overcome. Our background is working class, our privilege, et cetera. Now, what Christianity says is you can overcome it, and you're responsible for overcoming it. You are not the prisoner of your background. You're not the prisoner of your experience or your social background. You're not the prisoner of your ethnic background either. In Christ, we're new creatures, and we can overcome. You know, remember, Dr. King was a bad.
Okay, you were breaking up there. What about Dr. King?
Well, Dr. King was a Baptist, so he understood when he said, "Judge by the content of your character, not the color of your skin." He's talking about people that can be transformed through their experience of the gospel.
All right. So critical race theory, though, it has made inroads, incredible inroads, through, all kinds of different parts of our government. It certainly made inroads in our schools, even virtually at all levels, and our corporations as well. We could take these, a few at a time, but how about the schools? Focus a little bit on the schools and critical race theory.
Well, unfortunately, while we Christians have been trying to reform society, the Marxists and the socialists have been doing a march through the schools, through the public schools, and they have wheedled their way deep into the curriculum of these schools. Now, why have they done this? You know, Marxism has never really worked in America, and the reason is that people in America don't hate rich people. They want to be rich. They want to be better. And we've had enough social mobility that you can move up in the world. You know, I mean, I'm a good example. My parents both were high school graduates. I got a doctorate from Oxford, and certainly live a material lifestyle much different than the one I grew up in. And that's possible in the United States in a way that it's not possible in most other countries in the world. But that economic envy, that economic hostility has never really worked. But race has been used by the socialists to work, because people say, well, you know, I'm a victim of being black. And I the reason I haven't gotten higher up and I haven't had more opportunities because I'm black. And then whites are made to feel guilty because, well, the only reason that we have the privilege we have is because we were born privileged and we had special privileges, which we now had to forfeit. We have to do away with. The classic example of the destructiveness, the utter destructiveness of critical race theory is during the Minneapolis riots a couple of years ago. One of the Black Matters leaders said, the reporter said, well, what about, you know, you call the police, somebody's trying to break into your house and you call the police, and because of these riots, nobody comes. And the Black radical said, well, that's the way that you get rid of white privilege. You don't have the protection of the police coming when somebody's breaking into your house. That's not white privilege. That's called civilization.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because a lot of times, I mean, just to be honest, the great majority of victims of those kinds of crimes and so forth are the people themselves who are, you know, in the minority communities where they can't get up and move away the way, you know, let's say wealthy people, including whites or whatever, are able to go to the suburbs.
Oh, that's exactly right. Quote that great philosopher Charles Barkley. Thank God for the police. I'd hate to live in any of our neighborhoods.
Okay, again, phone issues there. How about critical race theory in terms of the government? Is the government in any way, you know, imposing on it? And how do we turn this around?
Yes, the government is deeply affected with critical race theory. And it's being imposed at government level in our military forces. That's one reason why we're having trouble meeting our recruiting goals, because people are so turned off by it. It's happening in corporations. It's happening in colleges and universities. And we'd better understand it, and we'd better combat it. And the only way to stop it is to have politicians, governors, presidents, senators, that say, you're not going to do it. If you take federal money, you're not going to do it. And that means most institutions in American life.
But then when people do that, like Ron DeSantis, for example, has done that in the state of Florida, or he's tried to and so forth, and then the Al Sharptons come out of the woodworks and so forth and call him a racist.
Well, that's going to happen. You just have to overcome that. You know, you have to just realize that the Al Sharptons of the world are going to be on the wrong side. If I ever find myself agreeing with Al Sharpton, I'm going to reevaluate my position.
That's funny. Okay, we have half a minute left. May God spare us from all this. Do you have hope for America despite all these things, or are you a pessimist now? 30 seconds.
I agree with Chuck Colson. As a Christian, it's a sin to be a pessimist. First of all, we know how it ends. Secondly, we know about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And I believe that while the world's going to be in a terrible state when the Lord comes back, there's nothing in my Bible that says we can't have another reformation before that happens. And I'm to be spreading the gospel and doing that which Jesus has called me to do.
And people can get more information at thechristianpost.com, where you serve as the executive editor. Dr. Richard Land, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. And thanks for all you do.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you now.